you know, any given day when agriculture gets together, it's an opportunity to celebrate the work that's been done, the way that people in agriculture come together to resolve issues, and then to discuss the challenges ahead. You know, some of the issues that we face as an industry include dealing with the renewable fuel standard changes that US EPA has recommended. Governor Quinn has called put together a stakeholder group to work on a comprehensive Illinois response to that. We've got one thing I'm working on in particular is as Director of Agriculture, is I'm Illinois' representative on the Hypoxia Task Force, which is a Midwestern group of states that's working on nutrient strategy reductions. It's believed that the Midwestern states are responsible for some of the nutrient flow that ends up in the Gulf of Mexico that creates the dead zone. So if we don't come up with a Illinois solution, and if other states don't come up with proposed solutions, we could end up getting regulations imposed upon us by the US EPA. So we want to try and come up with an Illinois strategy, a voluntary strategy, and we're on the verge of doing that. We've got a good public-private strategy that you know, where people are committed to trying to reduce the nutrients into the river systems. So there are a number of different fronts. One of the things I talked about this morning had to do with the agriculture budget. So over the years, it had been pared down. Last year, Governor Quinn introduced a budget that actually stemmed actually resulted in a change, if you will, from previous years where it had been reduced year after year after year. And we're talking about the general revenue fund component of our budget. So last year we held steady as opposed to previous years, and this year we're hoping to hold steady or do a little better because we feel like in agriculture in our agency we can demonstrate a remarkable return for the dollars invested in terms of our work on exports and selling Illinois products or working with our companies to sell Illinois products and you know, raising tax revenues, et cetera. So at the same time, we know the state government is going to have this incredible the legislators are going to have an incredible job ahead of them trying to pass a budget that is more than $2 billion short in revenues of where we were last year. And that's going to impact all you know, state agencies in some way, so we're competing for dollars. So even though 21% of our budget is general revenue fund, about $21 to $22 million, you know, we're competing with others. And those are what we do with our part of that budget is we are performing mandates, statutory mandates, meat inspection, an agreement with the federal government, inspecting animal food, making sure we're helping to eradicate diseases and working with industry to deal with you know, animal illnesses and so on, and we're responsible for animal welfare, our marketing program. All those are subject to the General Revenue Fund. So we're trying to sort of educate members of the legislature that any reductions will have a significant impact on the state's budget and the state's economy. So that's job number one for us right now.
You touched on the RFS and also exports there. Those two are linked primarily because the corn markets, corn farmers here in Illinois and in the Midwest are looking to export now because they see that demand for ethanol has plateaued. What, if anything, is state government doing to connect those dots for farmers who are trying to adapt to a changing landscape?
Well, I think, if anything, the renewable fuel standard and the success that Illinois has seen has actually helped stimulate and bolster our economy. Illinois has helped be part of the solution to the national energy security problem, where we've now we're manufacturing more of our gasoline here in the United States compared to overseas 10 years ago. So more of it's coming from here. So Illinois is part of that solution. And Governor Quinn's actually you know, pretty strongly supported the alternative fuels and the biofuels industry in this area. And it creates jobs. We're you know, over 4,000 jobs associated with the production of renewable fuels here in Illinois. So when you think about the impact on agriculture, let's take the corn industry. You have corn that is being grown, that is being purchased by those that are producing renewable fuels, biofuels, ethanol. and Illinois is one of the leading states. So there's a voice out there that, you know, in other states, and I think oil companies have probably, you know, they definitely have their opinion for whatever reason. I think that, you know, they could find a way to make it a more viable option for them. But at any rate, other states would say that are not corn and soybean states, that corn and soybeans should be used primarily for feed and for livestock purposes. Well, okay, that would tend to make sense, except there's a little problem right now with their analogy, and that is that our universities have found ways to find a byproduct associated with ethanol called dry distiller grains. That is a higher protein feed that is an additive to other feed that actually not only is used here in Illinois. People line up at the ethanol power plants for the some of this on a daily basis, but we also export hundreds of millions of dollars of that a year. So it's an example of something that has really worked. And as we work to feed a hungry world, not only are we producing that fuel here locally, the ethanol that is used in our cars, we'd like to use more of it, but we're also, because of that, helping to feed a hungry world. And that's been an incredible success story for Illinois.
I'm here at the Illinois State House speaking with the director of the Illinois Department of Agriculture, Bob Flyder. And Director Flyder, you're a former lawmaker here on Ag Lobby Day. Just circling back to what you've been hearing from some of the people who are here lobbying, what have you heard are their major legislative priorities this year?
Well, one of the things that they're looking at as we are is the ag budget, and I know that they have a strong interest in making sure that the Department of Agriculture has the resources to continue to partner with agriculture. So I think that's one of the issues that they've got. You know, we hear other issues that come up from time to time, concerns about genetically modified food and, you know, how we're going to deal with that. We hear concerns about you know, animal welfare type issues, particularly in the pet area. We are actually, as an agency, responsible for inspections of pet stores. Well, you know, one of the challenges we face is we have you know, six inspectors statewide, one in Cook County, and they're. So while the ag industry is concerned that more of our resources might have to be devoted toward new mandates that we do not have the resources for. So that's always a challenge as well. You know, more mandates, but, you know, fewer people to perform those mandates.
Does the department have a position on GMOs and labeling? I know there's a bill out there that's been talked about and is being considered. But does the Department of Ag have a position on that?
Well, we have not developed a position per se, but we're here to educate, to be part of the discussion. You know, one of the things that's, I think, important to recognize is that, you know, we have by the year 2050, our population the population of the world is expected to grow by one-third, by over 2 billion people. So it's estimated that in the next 40 years, we're going to have to feed as many people as we fed in the last 10,000 years. We have to provide, you know, that much food. So you think about that, how are we going to do that? And a lot of that's going to come from advances in science and, you know, more efficiency and being more productive. So as that research and technology evolves, I think there's a sort of this healthy debate of what consumers should know, what they shouldn't know. You know, I think the agriculture side would say there's no real tests that have shown that there's any health effect associated with GMO. The other side would say, well, maybe the science hasn't been done yet. So we're certainly trying to find opportunities to make sure that debate is done in a rational way.
Sure. And just finally, following up on that, obviously there is a section of the population in the U.S. and around the world that simply says, we'd like to know what's in our food. We'd like to know where it comes from, how it's grown, genetically modified or not. Do you, as director of the Department of Agriculture, feel pressure from one side of that argument or the other, whose voices are loudest in your estimation?
What we feel is, what I feel personally, is that the markets will dictate a lot of that. So, for example, countries that want a certain type of a product, you know, companies will find ways to provide that product. It may be a different cost structure. It may be, you know, segregated in a certain way. But I think markets will take care of a lot of that. So I'm not so worried about it impacting the agriculture industry as I because I believe that markets and companies will figure all that out. Where there's a demand, companies will find out a way to provide that. And, you know, the challenge is, you know, if countries close the door entirely on our country, then we got a problem. So we want to avoid that at all costs.